be life, universe, and everything. So settle in, get comfortable, and let our journey begin as we meet the hosts, internationally acclaimed mediums, Mick and Zoe Aker.
Hello once again and welcome to the Spirits Work Show, the metaphysical and spiritual show with a difference. I'm Sylvie Avery.
I'm Mick Avery, hi.
And we are mediums, healers and authors who have chosen to serve humanity through our gifts of spirit communication. We focus on education, and on this show, through Mick's deep trance mediumship, we are able to bring you many truths as to the nature of your existence direct from the other side of life. And on today's show, we'll be discussing all sorts of situations with Spirit Gregory. We did have a conversation about what we were going to be doing today, but I think I'm going to let him come and tell you about that himself shortly. You can join us with a question, join in with our subject today if you would like. Join us with a question, or you can actually have a question of your own. It's not a reading style situation, but it is a question to do with anything that you think the spirit world can help you with, to do with this world, the afterlife, other dimensions, spirituality, mediumship, anything like that. And then we will be welcome to help you with that. It's you can join us on toll-free in the US. It's 877-876-5227. In Canada, it's 888-815-9756. And international callers, you do have to pay for the call, but it's only a quick call, and it's 001-530-876-3222.
Hi, I'm Mick Avery, and welcome to Spirit's Work on bbsradio.com. And that's, of course, as you're listening to it now, this is on Sundays at 10 a.m. PST, which is 1 p.m. EST, 6 p.m. GMT. If you'd like to know more about us, our books, CDs, maybe you'd like to book an Akashic reading of any of the type that we have to offer, we suggest you go visit our websites, which are at www.spirit-teaching.com, also live at www.spiritsworkradio.com, and now at www.mickavery.com, that's for the UK and Europe. Each week live on the show, I channel an enlightened spirit guide called Gregory Hay, who is the main spokesperson for a group of highly evolved spirits called the White Cloud Group. Gregory himself had an earth life in the early 1700s, that's 1705 when he was born in England itself, and now he's come back to our side of life to share the vast insights and wisdom he has gained access to with those of us still on the earth, and using my deep trance mediumship sort of properties, if you like, to be able to do that. I have to do that right now, and so in order to get on with the show, Sylvie's going to take the whole of the rest of the show. I won't have anything whatsoever to do with it. She probably says thanks God. owing to the fact of my fairly useless mind, really.
Well, at this time in particular.
At this time in particular, yeah.
Because what happens is Mick actually starts to subdue his mind a little earlier before the programs, or before any time he goes into the trance state, so that it's easier for him to go off. And the thing is, obviously, so his input before this happens is somewhat haphazard, to say the least, because he's not quite firing on all cylinders. So we forgive him for that. But Gregory will be firing on all cylinders, without a doubt. And he is a spokesperson for the White Cloud Group, who consists of scientific minds of all description, along with ordinary people. This is an educational team that have come to give us access to information that we need to know in order that we may move towards a more harmonious and peaceful way of life. in understanding the nature of our existence, we can save our world from the negative spiral we seem to be caught in. So when Mick is in trance, his spirit and his consciousness are transported and held by the scientific members of the White Cloud Group so that we can enjoy the complete personality of Gregory. So this means there's no room for errors. He's not actually channeling Gregory through, as in interpretation, it's of senses and feelings. It's actually just the whole complete personality of Gregory, and Mick is actually somewhere else. So as Mick said, you can find out more about us from our website, which is www.spirit-teaching.com. And also, if you, Mick did say briefly, if you would like an Akashic reading from Gregory, so although we don't do that live on the show, you can get in touch with us on the website and maybe book one for phone reading for one-to-one with Gregory at any time. You can find out all about that on the website. And I'd just like to say one other thing is that very often people like to send their questions in to me prior to the show. If you have a question that you want Spirit Gregory and the White Cloud Group to cover one Sunday, for whatever reason, you would rather email it in instead of phone, because obviously there's a lot to take in, and while you're listening, you're not wanting to pick up the phone possibly. So, and then you think of these questions later on. So you can email those into me at any time. It can be a show suggestion, and we'll compile a show around it. Obviously, the more questions that you have, we want to answer your questions, the better. Send those as well. Or if it's just one question, you can send that to me, and I'll put that to Gregory 1 week for you. Meanwhile, Gregory's here now. Hello, Gregory.
Hello, my dear friend, little bird. Greetings with love and light as ever.
Greetings.
Greetings to you, everyone. Yes.
So, I didn't go into the show topic today too much because
I thought
that you could do that in your intro.
Well, thank you very much,
and we'll
little
take
bird.
It from there.
Yes, thank you so. So it is with love and light, my dears, everyone. The subject we would like to talk about here is not just something which affects the physical life, for once you have finished and done with your physical life and come once again to the afterlife, the ether world, however you perceive that to be, you will bring with you much of the adverse effects and adversarial conditions which have happened to you within the physical life. Naturally, all of us are at great pains to try to let these go, but many will continue to survive and hang on within them regardless. These are to do with effects then that we must talk about, because by you actually as a physical being relinquishing some of these effects of what we're going to talk about, then it means within your life you will have a freer life. You will free up a lot of the emotion that you carry, as well as a lot of the stigma that you place upon others within their lives. This is all about preconditioning. The preconditioning energy that helps you to sanitize your own life at the same time as placing upon others preconditions of how your assessment of that person's life has become, regardless of what situations they do or create, but it's about perception and the creation of that perception. Then, in fact, within one individual, just one individual, creates a whole pathway of this preconditioning, which then means that every single answer that and attitude that you have toward that person or group of people or a race of people is going to be endemic within that conditioning you have already brought into your physical life. You've already given birth to it, have already come to that judgment. Sometimes, and very often, in fact, a judgment which is made in haste, without understanding the full reasons as to why a precondition has evolved. Now, this may, at the first instinct, sound a little boring or trite, but it is not. It's very in-depth. That is what we intend to do within this subject area. It is most important that we talk and air about this subject, because so many beings on your side
The person whom you're trying to reach is currently unavailable.
BBSRadio.com. If it's not mainstream, it's on BBS. Right here with your boy, Spider Turner. Just chilling, baby. Kicking back, listening to the BBS. Yeah.
Yes, well, I will continue, my dear friends. I hope that this continues to be all right. So the situation continues to be then, as I say, within the matters of preconception, that is what we are wanting for human beings on your side of life to try to understand the energy of. This means then, oftentimes this preconditioning comes simply from you reading something about a person. That then means that you come to a certain set of viewpoints, whether you like that person, attract to them or not. Same can be said and as typically happens within the sibling situation in family groups. You may often find that particularly within certain specific relationships, oftentimes male versus female within one family group, that you will find that situations where an older sister or older brother then brings about preconditions to do with how they regard their relationship with a sibling. And then ultimately that can be actually furthered within the whole situation about just how exactly this relationship then continues with that decision already being taken, regardless of whether the other sibling is actually doing something wrong, or because it's usually we're talking about negative situations, negative scenarios. Let's make it plain here. The situation within the sibling rivalry state is not really sibling rivalry as in one trying to better another, but oftentimes empowered by the elder sibling will try to oftentimes crush the energy of the younger sibling so as to keep and maintain power and control in the adverse situation of if either or both parents fail to survive them. That's really the reason behind it and the actual instinctive energy behind that kind of relationship. But in actual fact, what is happening and taking place is often that the preconditions of how the thought mind has made up a judgment perhaps about another person seems to infect the rest of your life and the judgment that you continue then to make about any act that they create in their life. Even if half the acts or three quarters of them are decent, you will tend to remember mainly those ones which were not and that were negative. The reason why I'm bringing this up, my dear friends, is also to shed light upon instinctive realities to do with race and their effects upon the decision of mind and individuals, how they themselves attract to racist remarks or situations subject to previous pre-connections, precognizant situations whereby a person has this concept of what a person is going to do, stereotyping, typecasting that person into a certain bracket simply because of their race, will then illuminate various other kinds of very ignorant, in a sense, conditions. You are seeing this at this present time in the country of Haiti, with the ongoing situation of the earthquake scenario. The simple reason really of why it was that materials simply weren't dropped onto the place itself to for food and water and that kind of thing was simply one of afraid violence that was either going to be meted out between them, between the people on the ground, or that one group of people would take all of and hoard all of those provisions dropped and then simply extort those provisions for others. But that's a precognitive thought. It's not actual on the ground. The situation of how people then preconceive of what is going to take place simply because of a violent history or some such matter is completely unfathomable, because you are not taking into account the dire consequence of evolving situations which actually bring a people together. And this is, in fact, what you are seeing is not intolerance with one another, because they are actually coming from a place of fear within themselves. But what they are actually doing is creating an adjunct, a situation whereby they are simply reacting to one another because there isn't anyone else to react to. And therefore, those other situations of other peoples from other races coming into this environment will simply say, yes, you see, I told you so. They would be violent. So you will repeat film upon film of squabbling people over empty boxes is simply a matter of repeating it to reinfect and reignite the same racist behavior and decision-making that had already been in place. You see, I told you so. They were bound to do that. It's like saying that you have a brother or a sister, elder, of course, who will say, you see, I always thought you were going to think like that, simply because of one small piece of behavior from all of the mountainous behavior that you as an individual maybe had actually had to tolerate. And then the one thing that your sibling elder actually witnesses was your final straw that broke the camel's back. And it will always become that it's out of place, out of context of the reality of the vision. So why am I saying all of this? Purely and simply because all of this comes about within the behaviors that you extract from one another, and how you then allow preconditions and observations to color your entire life. Unfairly and dismissively, and oftentimes in such a state of affairs whereby the whole condition of this illumination appears dank and dark and mysterious. And I know that so many people will hold their hands up and say, not me. But it is all beings, because it's one of the greatest facets of what we have to deal with on our side of life once everyone passes to our side of life.
Well, as growing up as a child, you not only have to decipher right and wrong, cause and effect, you know, and that sort of thing, positive and negative traits in yourself. But
yes,
you have to, and you don't realize this as a child, you don't know that you have to work that out and, you know, figure out who's doing something from a prejudgment. But judgment, and so
yes,
okay, so I won't listen to that.
You haven't got a rule book.
No, you haven't got a rule book, so no. You have to go by that, and it's well, it's a game of chance, really, isn't it? To really how well you come out the end of it, and what sort of people you come into contact with, and
yes,
so
absolutely.
I mean, but it's all about power. But I mean, how does this happen? How does a human being become like that en masse as a personality trait that we have?
Yes, it is an interesting point, my dear friend. Part of the reason for this is actually to do with instinctive gathering that happens in tribal units, but usually simply because it is closer to be bonding in like-minded ways. So whereas one person you might have would not be that radical, if they are actually in the area or listen to material that is radical in shifting their response, they would simply lose their watered-down response and their unreality, that simply they didn't think that far, in a sharp contrast to everyone else. But quite simply, what they're doing is that they are succumbing then to the prevalent energy which is happening at the time. So that means, obviously, a prevalent energy is going to be whatever is in power, whatever is creating the powerless structure which you are having to fall into, purely and simply because of the marching experience, the whole situation of gathering, which is partly instinctive, part of your natural animal behavior, I will admit, and part of the way in which herding and these various kinds of sequences that fall in, that enable different beings to either play leader or for different beings to actually sequester their power to others in order for them simply to have an easy life and for them not to have to think too much, because human beings are inherently lazy.
Okay, animals demonstrate their power, their leadership in different ways.
Yes.
We manipulate and lie.
That is true.
So
human beings do generally,
yes,
manipulate
or degrade,
lie.
You know,
yes,
other people.
Yes,
because this is the sort of thing. If you're talking about prejudging people, then well, it has to be lies, doesn't it? That has to be.
Yes, that is true.
A very negative situation.
Yes, a fabrication out of something that simply doesn't exist.
Yes,
these are of course the worst negative traits, really, of humankind. There are no other animals that actually lie and extort this kind of behavior over one another simply for the use of it. Animals, for example, in a herd or a group, will actually find the coexistence and harmonic much more inviting than on the other end of it. Whereas human beings actually prefer the cohesion of war to the cohesion of peace. It's a very interesting facet of it.
Okay. Do you think that the person who is overtly racist, homophobic, and all of
yes.
that sort of thing is sort of like a cowardly leader in the background? Somebody who's sort
yes.
of like, you know, I'm just thinking of the animal world,
yes.
you know what I mean?
Yes, yes, quite so.
You get dogs that try to be the alpha dog that really shouldn't really try.
That.
No.
Yes, but they just do that in because oftentimes they do that in order to feign responsibility.
Mm-hmm.
The feigning of responsibility is so therefore they can claim that they are not responsible for other people's actions or failures, and therefore will not be responsible for helping them to overcome their present difficulties.
Right, so yeah, it gives them a way of saying, well, actually, I don't have to have anything to do with that. So that's laziness as well,
Really. Yes, quite
laziness
so.
And
absolutely.
Ignorance
yes.
as well.
Well, yes, but ignorance really then complies that a person simply doesn't know. And yet, this is construed, so it means that the person is simply being manipulative. They are well knowing. It's not ignorance that affects them in this kind of energy. What is actually affecting them is their own self-harm, their own egotist way of thinking that they are somehow empowered and better than someone else simply because of who they are.
Yes, but that's what I'm saying about them being a cowardly leader, a wannabe, somebody who is...
Yes.
Because they need other people, like-minded people, so they try and drum up, a fervour of,
yes.
of the same sort of things that they're thinking and saying in
that
a negative way,
true.
Rather than a leader would actually, or somebody would actually stand up and say, look, this is what I think, I don't care what anybody else thinks.
But there's a reason for that.
Okay, good, I'm glad.
And the reason for that is... because they do not have any unique ideas, because they fail to connect to their spirit.
Yeah, yeah, but isn't anybody who is that negative about everybody typecasting people, homophobic, racist, and all of the other things
yes.
that we've been talking about, and also. Okay, you're talking about the sibling situation. I mean, there are, say, I don't know, older brothers would see their younger sisters, I don't know, smoking a cigarette or whatever, and think that they were a whore and all of the other things that they actually think
associated yeah,
with somebody
with
that they
image.
Think who
yes.
smokes a cigarette.
I understand, and it's just simply taken completely
yeah.
out of context,
yeah.
purely and simply because then that couples with all of the other things that are helpfully placed in the same box, so that the energy then construed is the relationship of that thought and in confirming their attitude is correct and everyone else is wrong.
Yeah, but so where do we go from with this as far as the human being situation? I mean, are the races like this? I mean, it's...
Not that many, surprisingly.
Right.
I say surprisingly, my dear friend, because it does seem to come about because of certain conjunctions of the mutation of a race or collective species and how that mutation then continues to overcome its barriers and problems. For example, by saying that, if you look at certain situations within Tibetan philosophy and other forms of high spirituality and austere teaching, you will see and note that very few of these kinds of conditions exist. They do still exist. There are still people in Tibet who are racist, who are ignorant of many of the thoughts of mind, and there are many beings in Tibet who, like many other races, simply do not get or understand or want to understand certain other people's points of view. So they will be actually quite single-minded in their approach to life. However, there are not that many people living in Tibet who actually think in an eternally negative purpose, particularly when aimed at certain races. They will all recognize that, as all people should really try to recognize, that there are going to be different degrees of whether a person is positive, loving, and fruitful, or whether a person is negative, warlike, and hostile. So this then is really a situation not of one race, but of the collective. Part of what we have to instill from our side of life to you having the physical side of life is that the problems that ensue when human beings typecast and create this misdemeanor of thought, where you actually become derailed as a human being and begin thinking illogically about how a person, group, or race similarly appears to be heading, even though you may never have even met with one, or even though you may not have actually moved into that circle of being. The reasons for citing this are purely and simply because we can see every single moment of our lives, how when we interact with beings who have come from your side of life, the first problems they have are to do with meeting with others who they didn't like in their physical life, or meeting with others who, for want of a better word, that they did not approve of simply because they were of a different race, or the wrong gender, or the wrong kind of they wore the wrong kind of lipstick or something, some wrong kind of war paint. I don't know. The reasons are strong and varied.
And surely for most of it seems totally insignificant when it comes down to it.
They're really
stripped bare of everything when you get to the other side. You know, you haven't got your belongings that you're not
your
coveting.
Treasured possessions.
Exactly.
Yes,
you know, your property, your possessions, your money and that sort of thing. So a lot of it surely must be starkly obvious when you get to the other side.
Well, one would think so. The problem is that we actually have many, many classes of beings who have to move through this situation. And sometimes we have rejects. We have situations where people just simply wander off and leave. And they don't ever come back. As they wander off and leave, in order to carry on with their journey in just the same way as they were when they got here.
What do you go through with these classes then?
Well, we go through these situations of, in a sense, it's relativity. That's what we try to bring to the harmony group, is relativity. So it means that when a being comes to our side of life and they have perhaps maybe they have been extremely racist in their physical lives. After all, you can just imagine all of the situations and sequences of events that have happened within the physical life, and the wars and different situations that have been fought over, not to mention the situations of one race against another, but really the very turbulent and instrumental situations that were carried out in mainly, I would have to say, in recent history, but that in other situations that have happened long ago as well, that we see different races, how they fought one another purely and simply from their racist point of view, and we actually confront them with that when they arrive to our side of life. So it's not something that they are going to actually let go of necessarily willingly. So we find it quite difficult, in effect, to help another being understand that actually how they were thinking in their physical life, even though everything else has been stripped bare, they still cling on to this kind of thought practice.
Mm. Mm. It was funny, it's interesting that you say, I don't know if it was last week's show, you said, you've been saying lately that if women were ruled the world, as it were, instead of men, there wouldn't be the wars that we have.
Well, one would hope not. I know that there are certain women in history who created wars, Boadicea, Margaret Thatcher, and others.
But they manipulated men to do that.
That is very true, yes.
They?
Or actually had a great deal of male hormonal situations that were running through them at the time that caused them to create such harsh realities upon other people that actually shouldn't have been there.
Hmm. Right. That's interesting. Because But yeah, that was going to be my point, that very often women manipulate men to, but then that's for a different reason, I think, very often as well, isn't it? To actually create a situation around them so that they act only in their favour.
Yes, that's
almost like
very
an extension
true.
Of themselves, but they don't actually have to be the one. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yes, quite
I hope I'm making sense to other people. I'm just trying to think of all sorts of different reasons
saying.
And different people that we come across.
Yes, and in that respect, of course, it can be, as you rightly point out, dear friend, even within certain relationship situations, you will have sometimes women who actually already have the power within the family group, the matriarchal society that upholds it, then simply stimulates that power, and then there is a great deal of manipulation which happens on her behalf, so that it's simply then that she knows exactly which buttons to push within the relationship and how to externally allow anger to raise its head, which is a male anger, so obviously will become more figuratively violent because it seldom thinks beyond that. Which is part of the problem, really, that we have observed within males through the history of the human race, that it has predominantly been act first and think later.
And it's all really to do with power, isn't it? I mean, everything that we're talking about is to do with power.
That's right.
Either drawing power to you from other people or just drawing the power of the other person that you're degrading to you, their energy to you.
Yes, that's right. Yes.
So in whatever respect that is, it's all about power.
Yes, and then your preconditions of thought, of how you have related to it, it then goes to serve you. It then strengthens your resolve, your overlook, if you like, of how you preconceived your ideas and verified them. Thank you very much. Turning back then once again to the situation in the poor country, very desperate country of Haiti, you can see that situation happening again and again. Simply, there are many situations where many, many people could be rescued and should have been rescued where they were not, simply because out of fear that the rescuers had or their command situation had over them being able to go into that environment simply because of their fear of the race that they were trying to help. This was not something, I know that there have been errors, situations, there have been historical situations within this country itself and the many great difficulties that it had survived, partly due to a very violent past, coupled with an unfavorable form of religious understanding, which excluded all others. And within many situations where, even though many people were of Christian belief, they still practiced voodoo. So that, in essence, meant that there was something wrong with them altogether if they did that.
Yeah, in the
and so
we're talking about typecasting again here now.
Absolutely so, and preconditioning, so. And that's why I'm saying that these kinds of configured statements, if you like, it's like sending a structure over a whole situation that you don't know what it's going to be like until you actually land and talk to people and communicate with people. And then, in actual fact, you would find they're very deeply loving, very concerned and distraught human beings that simply asked for help. But instead, those many have allowed this preconditioning to escape their reality, to lead them through their reality and into actually a form of domain that didn't really exist.
Yes, and I was just thinking about how powerful the television situation, the media is, you know, like you were saying.
Yes.
They do, they show the worst situation.
And we repeat it again and again and again.
And it's the same, though, when they're trying to bring either evil, let's say a pop star or a film star or somebody, royalty, I don't know, if they're trying to bring somebody down.
Yes.
That's the perfect way to do it, isn't it? I mean, you know, just to show the same clip.
To enlarge upon enlarge the situation upon, and then graduate into, the energy from it.
Yeah, that's so scary.
That is right.
Isn't it?
And it's the same, exactly the same kind of manipulation that human beings are learning all the time about one another, to one another, in order to gain a different kind of energy hold upon one another's life.
Yes.
So that in actual fact you are seeing that what this creates is further and further typecasting, further and further distillation of one's own pure energy, simply because of the amount of other people who are knowing you but are making their preconceived ideas and judgments of you out of context of your reality.
Mm. Yes.
And so often you will find that relationships, these are one of the keys of relationships breaking down purely and simply through this kinds of fabrication of mind-thought journeying. Just simply allowing it to become out of step, out of unity.
I was just thinking about the fact that we've got the internet now, you know, YouTube and Facebook and everything, and it sort of takes some of the power away, doesn't it, from these situations,
which is really good. Yes.
And
yes.
then you will hear, you know, these other people, these energy grabbing people that we've been talking about, who judge and that sort of thing in this way, in this negative way, that they would instantly poo-poo, oh, well, it is on there, that's a load of rubbish, you know, and it goes on. But once you see people's traits and the way that they do move in that way, then it makes it a lot easier, doesn't it? But it's so interesting and quite scary to think that it is such a common thing and starts very young. I mean, you know,
we're extremely young, school
teachers, for instance. I mean, yeah. I'm sure everybody can give you a little story about at least one teacher during their childhood and growing up, school years.
Yes.
I know I can. So, that's the other thing, you know, parents will believe a teacher because of their standing, you know, their standing within the community and they're educated and that sort of thing. They're human beings and they succumb to the same sort of things as everybody else.
That is quite
true. The sort of things that we've been talking about.
Yes, although, of course, you would hope that a teacher would not succumb to that kind of energy. But in actual fact, oftentimes the situation is simply too overwhelming to allow them to bring about the time that they need to bring about in order to form relative understanding of every individual in their care. And so it tends to be something of just a simple blanket behavior. Ah, yes, well, I'll just look through my book my naughty book or whatever, and then I'll be able to see exactly how many times this person was naughty, regardless of whether that situation was actually adjudged in the right time and was made in the right value at the moment that it happened. Oftentimes they are ill-judged or simply don't see the right activity.
So bearing all this in mind, what do you think about schooling, like religious schools? What do you think about that, the one faith school?
I actually find them, I'm quite distrustful of this situation, purely and simply remembering that I grew up being educated by Roman Catholic monks did not lend me to be endearing about that situation. or that I have seen, I am well aware that there are many people who have grown up completely tolerant and very balanced within their views, but still single-tracked about, oftentimes about, the absolute faith that they had been brought up into and through, using that as a tool, in a sense, to then continue that faith predictive, in a sense, tends to manipulate and monopolize that young mind into thinking that only one section of this particular faith reading is of truth, which is part of the largest problem that humanity faces at this time and has faced for the last 1,000 years.
Well, that's what I mean, because the teachers will be of one mindset, and I'm not saying that they're going to have a closed mind by any stretch of the imagination. I don't mean that, but, you know, by its very nature, it is going to be directed in one way.
Yes,
so what about mixed schools then? And we're talking, I'm asking all of these questions to actually just try to think, get to the preconditioning, judgment, that sort of thing, situation, and to see what would be best, ways forward,
well, the
in
mixed,
your mind.
The mixed school situation, are you talking about purely mixed gender, or are you talking about mixed religious activity?
Well, mixed, actually, I was talking about mixed gender to start with, but obviously mixed everything.
You see, in actual fact, my dear friend, if you are talking about mixed religious identity, it should really be that a blanket situation be taught within schooling situation for people within that schooling to be able to have an understanding, basic understanding of all different faiths and religious understandings. And it may well be that they don't hold any of that to be correct at all. So what then? You cannot force a human being into one form of life. That would be radical thinking, would it not?
Mm.
That would once again be optimizing only one thought or one theory rather than understanding matters of the universe. So it, to us, appears to be something that is derisory, something that is actually quite negative, and obviously creates then preconditioning about that human being's journey and how they're then going to face the rest of their lives. What if a situation evolved whereby the only form of schooling was in brought about by a particular church or a particular religious group, as has happened on many occasions, within many different countries on your side of life? That is the status of what you have.
Mm.
So that means to say then, if one particular religion, Christianity, Roman Catholicism, or whatever it is, or Islam, that you become something of a fundamentalist from a very early age, obscuring all other thought, all other preconditions, have simply not ever been born. You've only got the one, which is just as intolerable as any other form of racism. That is what I am wagering.
Mm.
And that is, as we can see quite clearly, part of the problem, or in fact the large part of the problem, that has been occurring within human destiny, is how do we deal with these people who are returning to our side of life with extremely fixed views about not just their own religious understanding, but that in turn moves the being into many forms of other racism, sometimes to do with gender as well, genderism.
Mm-hmm.
That can happen.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe with the apparent observation that inciting that one gender is worth less than a dog. I cannot think how one could be worth less than any other, or more than any other. It's just a different kind of being. so does not really bring any weight or material at all to my consciousness. However, I am not willing to accept this as an ability or something that is of a tribute to that human being to have such a faculty.
So what about mixed sex schools, boys and girls? Do you think single-sex schools?
Well, actually, my dear friend, to be absolutely candid with you, I feel the situation would be better served if, for in the main, most schools were of one...
Single-sex schools?
Well, yes.
Really?
Yes.
You surprised me.
Well, purely and simply, not from a relationship perspective, but from the perspective that, in actual fact, I feel that single-gender schools, those people would get on with their learning.
Yeah.
In a much greater way.
Yeah, I can appreciate that.
I feel that even within that situation, that there should then be times when classes come together of different genders. So that, and they are specifically communication classes, communication skills.
Well, I was just going
and
to
that
say
is
that
what they learn within those lessons, that they bring those two different peoples together.
Yes, because that is the thing, I think, about mixed school. Mixed gender schools is that you do get the social skills and that
absolutely
sort of thing.
But I'm saying, though, that it should be in a constructive, taught way. In exactly the same way that there should be lessons in etiquette, lessons in how a person speaks, lessons in how a person communicates, that they should be able to communicate in a viable way to hold their own within their own thoughts and to expound those thoughts.
I wonder if there's been if there's any connection between people who commit sexual offences and them not having any, say, if it's a male doing it on women, not having any much previous contact. Communication
yes
with females in their childhood and that sort of thing.
Yes, I understand that. Or, at times, too much, I understand. As I look into other people's lives who have passed, who were that way, I can also see that for some of them, that they actually, within their home life situation, they were surrounded by females.
Right. Okay.
So the object became characterized and really as a form of rebellion, but complete rebellion. The point is, I feel, that many of the situations which are happening, being delivered at this present time, are simply coming because no one's saying no.
Well, everybody's recognizing it, though, Gregory.
I understand that.
You know, we can point it out here.
Yes.
And that's obviously the object of this program and the way
yes
you wanted to bring it, because
yes
we don't, you know, normally maybe notice when things are happening, when people are behaving like that,
yes,
you know. So
the point, my point, you see, really is that it can come from the smallest of thoughts.
Yes, absolutely. And usually, though, you see these people who are like that are usually they usually project a powerful energy, so it usually in that in itself is something that is difficult to deal with and sort of disarms many people and then makes you question your own feelings and sensitivities
yourself,
that you're,
yes,
you're getting from that. So
yes,
but so well, hopefully that this has made people realize a few things and we're not made them realize a few things, but highlighted and maybe allowed them to recognize and probably think, oh, yes, this is right. I was thinking that, to associate
yes
with what we're saying.
Yes. What we're trying to convey here is a matter of thought, how you bring out thoughts and what the preconditions are that you set about in initiating thoughts from your very consciousness.
Yes, to think exactly why you've come to that conclusion about somebody or something. Yeah, absolutely.
Yes. And just simply because you base information upon what was once determined to be a valid point of view, simply because you witnessed it, maybe. Mm. That was one behavior out of a sequence of perhaps a lifetime of behaviors. That was one behavior you observed, which happened over just a few minutes.
Mm. Yes.
It's part of the reason why there are such denigrating situations that happen to people who commit crime. And then they go on committing it. Simply because people have not then, and they have not themselves, given themselves a chance to change their preconditions, decision-making of how they think, what they think they are.
Yes, yes, this person thinks I'm like this, so yes, I guess I am.
So I am.
Okay. Oh, right. All right, then. Well, thank you very much, Gregory.
Thank you again. With love and light.
Fascinating.
Yes. Blessings, everyone. Love to all.
Hmm. And we hope you've enjoyed the show. Do visit our website, www.spirit-teaching.com. My name is Sylvia Avery, and you've been listening to Spirit's Work. And until next time, be peaceful, be positive, and focused on your goal, knowing you're not alone in trying to create a better world. Goodbye.